This week, past week rather, I was looking at some things in the scriptures, and one of the things that really captivated my attention was the resurrection. And the more that I was looking at it and pondering it and thinking about it, the more it captivated my attention. When we consider some reasons that Jesus was raised from the dead, I found it very interesting that it wasn't just one or two things. As a matter of fact, there's a multiplicity of reasons why Jesus was raised from the dead. And when we consider, even before the foundation of the world, the Lord was going to be raised from the dead. Well, you're probably saying to yourself, well, of course, we know that. And even though that is true, we understand that the very specifics of his resurrection is just so powerful. And something for us to consider as we make our way to the book of Romans chapter 15, I want us to take some notes real quick from the mouth of Jesus. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 21, we take notice of something that Jesus tells his disciples. The Bible says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and be killed and be raised the third day. We consider that word raised there, and the idea is a rising up. We also understand, if you go to the very next chapter, chapter 17 and verse number 23, we can throw in verse 22, now while they were standing in Galilee, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and the third day he will be raised up. But also look at Luke 9 and verse 22. In Luke 9 and verse number 22, we find the same language. Notice what the Bible there says. Luke 9 and verse number 22. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, be killed, slain, and be raised the third day. We see something very interesting in these verses, that the third day, Jesus is going to rise from the dead. Literally, he was going to stand up. He was going to stand up out of sleep, if you will, from the dead of the grave. The resurrection is or was some great phenomenon, even when Jesus was speaking these things. As a matter of fact, when we consider some of the words of Jesus Christ, turn to John 2 and look at verse number 19. In John chapter 2 and verse number 19, as we continue this train of thought, take notice what is said here. Remember, they was asking for a sign. Show us a sign. Jesus answered and said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. But notice verse number 21. But he was speaking of the temple of his body. He wasn't talking about the physical temple. He was talking about the temple of his body. Remember, he was going to be in the grave and God was going to be raising him up. Resurrection from the grave. Notice John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, Jesus gives words of encouragement, if you will. In John chapter 6, verses 39 through 40. And we'll also look at another passage in this context. Here we see that Jesus gives words of assurity. Look at verse number 39 and following. This is the will of God who sent me, that all he has given me, I should not lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees, now that this is spiritual, sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Drop down to verse number 45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Now that, not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God, he has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. And so here we understand that those who come to the Father must be drawn. They have to be taught. They have to learn that God will raise them up on the last day. Turn to Luke chapter 7. In Luke chapter 7, here, Jesus gives another hint of the resurrection. Another hint. In Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through verse number 17, we take notice of Jesus being in a place called Nain. And there was a woman, a widow, who had lost her son, her only son. And the procession was going on, if you will. It was an open coffin. Jesus looks into the coffin, and there was the son, dead, of course. And notice what the Bible here has to say in verse number 13. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." So he who was dead sat up, raised up, got up, and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. You remember what Jesus said in John chapter 11, verse number 25? He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Now, here's the point I want to make. Here was a man that was dead. Jesus touched the coffin. The man sets up, and he begins to speak. This is interesting, that on that last day, we're going to stand up out of the grave, and we're going to have to give an account. We're going to have to speak. Isn't that right, Brother Don? We're going to have to give an account. But something I was considering in this text, could it be at this particular time we have no reference of Joseph being alive? Mary was a widow, possibly. Here is the same situation. We've got this widow, her only son, he raises him up. Well, Mary would have Jesus, the only son from God, and God will raise him up. Guess what God will do to us one day? He will raise us up. Here, Jesus again gives us just a little glimpse of the resurrection. You remember when Jesus was on the cross after his scourging, after his beating? And you remember what he said in John 19 and verse number 30? He said, "It is finished." His work was completed. It was done. And then in Luke chapter 23 and verse number 46, he says, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." And then lastly, in Mark chapter 15 and verse number 34, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He gives up the ghost, and the next thing you know, he's in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. And on that first day of the week, 3 days, he's raising up. We consider some of these points, and why was it so important for Jesus to be raised from the dead? Well, number one, Jesus was raised from the dead that he may have all authority. In Matthew chapter 28, verse number 18, after his resurrection, he is there with his disciples. Remember, they didn't believe that he was raised from the dead, according to Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through verse number 15. But we understand here that all authority has been given unto Jesus. God had put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head of all things to the church. He is now the head of the church, and now he's ruling from heaven. He's at the right hand of Almighty God, according to Ephesians 1 and verse number 20, and he was raised to rule. Look at Romans 15 and verse number 12. In Romans 15 and verse number 12, Jesus was raised from the grave to rule. Friends, he's ruling right now. This really negates premillennialism, who say that Jesus is going to come back and he's going to set up his earthly kingdom in Jerusalem, and there he's going to reign 1,000 years. That's wrong. He was raised to rule already. He's already ruling. Here we understand that Paul, by inspiration, says in verse number 12, and again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse. He's talking about Jesus. And he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope. Jesus was raised to rule. He was raised to rule. That's a powerful, powerful reason to be raised from the grave. It's interesting. You remember in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, I believe it's verse 3 and 4 in that area, aren't we going to reign with Christ? We're going to be raised from the grave to stand before Jesus, to hear well done, and we're going to rule. It's interesting. Oh, we're not going to rule in the same way as Christ, but we're going to be raised to rule. There's going to be some that's going to be raised to condemnation. But we're going to be raised to rule, and we need to keep that in our minds. Look at Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, another reason why Jesus was raised from the dead. Jesus was raised from the dead in verse number 24 to take care of the horrors of death. Oh yes, death is a very powerful thing. Most people are afraid of death. But when Jesus came and he died, when God raised him up, according to verse number 24, he loosed the horrors, the pains of death. Question, should we truly be afraid of death when Jesus took care of it? But most people are afraid to die. I'm reminded of what Paul said on one occasion, for me to live is Christ, what? To die is gain. Friends, that separation, it is a scary moment. We understand that. But truth be told, the very fact that we are alive in Christ, God will never leave us nor forsake us. I made this comment to the congregation in Kansas last week that when we are dead in sin and we obey the gospel, we are then made alive. And as we are continuing to walk faithful, one day we will either die or Jesus Christ will come. If we die, just as in Luke chapter 16, the angels came and got Lazarus. And it's interesting that at the point in which one is regenerated in baptism, one is made alive and God never leaves them. They're always secure. Which means that death really has no power whatsoever. Look at Acts 3 and verse 26. Another reason why Jesus was raised from the grave. He was raised from the grave to do something very powerful in our lives. Look at verse 26. To you first, God having raised up Jesus, his servant, and sent him to do what? To bless you, number one, in turning away every one of you from your lawlessness, iniquities. Why was Jesus raised from the grave? To bless us. To bless us. To turn us away from sin. That we may produce fruit unto God. Romans 7 and verse 4. Look at Acts 13. Look at verse number 30. In Acts 13, here we see a demonstration that Jesus was raised from the grave, Acts 13, starting at verse number 30, and he was raised that he may not see corruption anymore. Look at verse number 30. But God raised him up. He was seen for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses to the people. And we declare to you glad tidings, good news. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 8 is a good passage or passages right there. That promise which was made to the fathers, God had fulfilled this for us, their children. in that he has raised up Jesus, as it is also written in the second Psalm, you are my son, today I have begotten you. The sonship there. And that he raised him up from the dead, no more to return to corruption. He has spoken this, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Therefore, he also said in another psalm, you will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his generation, by the will of God, fell asleep, was buried with his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up saw no corruption. Can you imagine all of those times that Luke is recording this, that Jesus was raised up? Brother Royce, do you think we talk about the resurrection enough? If we talked about the resurrection more, maybe I need to do that. Maybe we wouldn't have a problem with Romans chapter 6 of living the resurrected life, raised from the dead. There is a difference. Notice Acts 17. We discussed this on this morning. I'm just going to glance over it. But Jesus was raised that he may judge. Acts 17, verse 31, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Friends, if Jesus had not been risen from the grave, we'll still all be in our sins. Notice Romans chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4, verses 24 and 25, let's see what we can gather because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we're going to take this thought process right into Romans chapter 5 and then into Romans chapter 6. And you're going to see this line of thought that Paul, the apostle, has given us worthy of our consideration. In Romans chapter 4, verses 24 and 25. But also for us, it shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses, and notice this, friends, and was raised because of our justification. Why was Jesus raised from the grave? To justify us. To declare us right before God. Now look at chapter 5 and notice verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we have been justified because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God didn't leave him in the grave. His body saw no corruption. And because of his resurrection, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we can have peace with God. How many people are seeking peace with God, but they're not trying to be justified the proper way? Here, as the people of God, these Roman brethren are being reminded by the Apostle Paul that we have peace with God because of the resurrection. Because of Jesus being raised from the grave. Notice what he also says. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace. The word grace there is the idea of manner of life. We have access into this manner of life because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because he was raised from the grave. Friends, make no mistake about it. Do not make light of Jesus being raised from the grave. There are many people who have died and a few have been raised to die again. But Jesus has been raised to never see death again. And one day, that's going to be our plight. That we're not going to ever see death again. Look at verse number 3. In verse number 3, and not only that, and I love how the Apostle Paul says that. Here he gives these great blessings in verse number 1 and 2, but he's adding more to it. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope doesn't disappoint. Why? Because of the love of God. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. What does this have to do with the resurrection? We have hope. We can glory in trouble. All because of Jesus Christ and him being raised from the grave. Friends, if he can do it, we can do it. Look at Romans 6. We have identity because of the resurrection. Many people are struggling with their identity. They don't know if they want to be part of this group or that group. They don't know if they want to have this sexual orientation or this sexual orientation. Friends, God has given us identity, and his name is Jesus Christ. That's our identity. Notice Romans chapter 6, starting at verse number 1. All because of the resurrection. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Of course not. How shall we, listen to this language, who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? That's the cross. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised, notice this language, raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his standing up, his resurrection. Friends, the very fact that Jesus was raised from the dead, we have great hope. We know for a fact that we have something to look forward to. And we don't have to wait to get to heaven to identify with the Christ. We can identify with him now. And friends, and we should. And why not? Because God wants us to bear fruit unto him. Look at Romans 7 verse 4. We alluded to it earlier. I want us to look at this real quick. Therefore, my brethren, go back and read the first three verses, making that contrast between marriage and the old system, all right? Therefore, my brethren, you also, having become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. Why was Jesus raised from the dead? That we may bear fruit to God, that we may have identity. There's no reason for a child of God not to have an identity. He has given it to us. We know who we are. We know whose we are. Notice 1 Corinthians 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, notice this identity. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let's start at verse number 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And friends, it's not talking about the church. It's talking about heaven. Because flesh and blood is in the church. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. Notice, why was Jesus raised? That we may be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. It's going to be a glorious day. Look at 2 Corinthians 4. In 2 Corinthians 4, we see this same idea, if you will. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and verse number 14. Knowing that he, talking about Jesus, or God, I'm sorry, the Father, who raised up the Lord Jesus, will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. Why was we raised? Why was he raised from the dead? That he may present us with him. Friends, there's no reason for us to be lonely. We have a God that loves us. I mean, truly adores us, thinks a lot of us. And the very fact that we have been baptized into Christ, now we have been clothed with Christ, he's saying, you have security. Hold on to it. Don't go back to that old lifestyle. Stay with the Lord. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Why was Jesus raised from the dead? In 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse number 20, 1 Peter chapter 1, Starting at verse number 20. He indeed was foreordained, talking about the Christ, before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believed in God, who raised him from the dead, gave him glory. Why? Why was Jesus raised? Notice the latter part of that verse. So that your faith and hope are in God. Number 10, I believe. Philippians 3 and verse number 10. Look at that one. I know I'm giving you a lot of passages, but as I was thinking about this, I was saying, wow, Jesus was raised for a lot of reasons, not just a few. And I'm pretty sure that if you was to go and study more, you'll probably find some more. Philippians 3, verse 9 and 10. Philippians 3, verse 9 and 10. Paul says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him. Now notice this. Paul wanted to know Christ, but he also wanted to know the power of his standing up, his rising, his being raised from the dead. What was the reason why Jesus was raised from the dead? That we may get to know that power ourselves. Friends, we consider the resurrected mindset, not the dead mentality, but the mentality of being alive. Love and joy and peace and long-suffering, goodness and meekness and temperance. Against such, there is no law. That true mentality, the resurrected mentality. Jesus was raised that we may experience the power of his resurrection. Last but definitely not least, something for you to consider. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 again. Why was Jesus raised from the dead? He wanted us to experience the lively hope. And friends, this is only experienced through obedience to the gospel. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3, let's start at verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion, Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy, listen to this, has begotten us again to a living hope. How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. But notice where it's leading us. God is not just leading us out of the death of sin to just leave us down here, just kind of gallivanting around, just walking around and doing nothing. No, he's leading us somewhere to an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, does not fade away, reserved in heaven for us. Friends, he's guiding us. Look at 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. Under that same point, he has begotten us to a living hope. Not just letting us just kind of walk around aimlessly as the Gentiles of Ephesians chapter 4 verse 17 through verse number 20. But notice what he says in verse number 21. There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why was Jesus raised from the dead? He wants us to experience that good conscience. He wants us to experience the power of the resurrection. He wants us to experience faith and hope and love and joy. He wants us to experience the incorruptible body. He wants us to have identity. He wants us to be justified, knowing that one day we're going to stand before God in judgment. He wants us to have assurance. He wants us to understand that he has turned us away from sin to bless us, that we should not be afraid of death. And friends, I don't know why we should be afraid of death anymore. We know for a fact that it is appointed unto man once to die, but after that, the judgment is coming. Let's get ready for it. Why was Jesus raised from the dead? God gave him all authority. He wanted him to rule, and he is ruling. Where is Jesus ruling? He's ruling in the kingdom. He's ruling over the hearts of men who have submitted their will to his will. That's where he's ruling. Question, shouldn't we go out and compel and help people to see that Jesus was raised that he may rule your life too? We see what it looks like when people rule their own lives, right? It doesn't look too pretty. But we also see those who allow the resurrected Lord to rule their life, because it is the life of resurrection itself. It's a beautiful, beautiful concept. I hope, pray, and trust that some things were said that will cause you to think a little bit more about the resurrection of Christ and just some reasons why Jesus was raised from the dead. And not just one or two, but a multiplicity of reasons. And I hope, pray, and trust that you find some more and say, Brother Mike, I found some more. That would be great, because then I can add them to my lesson. I can preach it somewhere else. Hint, hint. Y'all just do that, okay, to help me out. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to experience the resurrected life. And the way that you do that is through obedience to the gospel. This good news, glad tidings of Jesus Christ, him coming to this world and dying on the cross and being raised. And now he's at the right hand of the throne of God, ruling and reigning. Well, that was the reason, one of the reasons why he was raised. He was raised to rule. Believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins, confess Christ to be Lord, be buried in water for the remission of your sins, and then you can live the resurrected life. You can't live the resurrected life before that. God didn't put it that way. And I know we have different people out here saying different things. And, well, I know I'm a Christian. Well, hold on. Did you do it the way that Christ said, and that Paul said, and Peter said? And no wonder when we are baptized into his death, we are raised to walk in the newness of life. We identify with the resurrection. And we got people who want to live the resurrected life, but have not identified with the resurrection yet. But maybe a child of God, you haven't been living the resurrected life. Let's pray for you. Let's get that right. As we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.